Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old, Thou shalt not perjure thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatever is more than these cometh of evil. Shall we look to the Lord? Loving Father, we ask your blessing upon your word and pray as we consider the truth of the scriptures concerning these things. We ask, Lord, that you will help us to understand not only the word of God, but how we might live our lives out in a practical way that would honor you and glorify your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at the passage this morning, we find that it talks about using oaths, or swearing, if you will. And so we want to consider the subject at hand in not only a scriptural sense, but also in a contemporary sense, in the way that it might be violated today. And so the title of the message is simply, Swear Not. I guess as Christians we realize what profane language is all about, and of false swearing as well. As to the particular passage in view, we recognize that it is in relationship to certain oaths that the Pharisees would use, and which they took at liberty to use other oaths which they did not feel was binding upon them. And we might see some of these oaths in relationship to a judicial sense, and others in more common usage or abuses, if you will. And so we find that the work of the Pharisees was to keep the law of God, but they often violated the true spirit of the law of God in the process. As we consider the subject of false swearing today, or of how people might violate the use of the Word of God, or of oaths, we find, perhaps in more common sense, that people profane the name of God today. And, of course, this isn't anything that's unusual. We find that people have done this consistently in society for a very long time. But we'll look at the more scriptural aspect, if you will, of the situation at hand here, and then we'll make some application to that and to some other areas. First of all, the Lord forbids swearing falsely, or the commandment forbids false swearing, if you will. In verse 33, it says, Thou shalt not forswear thyself. And, of course, Christ here proceeds to correct, if you will, another false interpretation of the law, as the Pharisees were very good at keeping the law of God. And, as we know, even there are many people who are very good at keeping traditional laws, even religious traditional laws, even today. And so the law respecting oaths is one that is found in the scripture itself. For instance, in Leviticus in chapter 19 in verse 12, it says, And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Now, this particular verse, of course, seems to cover a broad area. not just using an oath inappropriately, as one might swear by the temple or swear by some other particular holy thing, but we find that the name of God in particular is mentioned in Leviticus 19:12. Thou shalt not swear by my name falsely or profane the name of God. Now, here, of course, we find that this particular violation is common in our society today. There is a lot of profaning, if you will, of the name of God. And as Christians, we, of course, do not want to be involved in profaning the name of God. But yet we find that even among Christians sometimes, we perhaps take too casual a view of the use of the name of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 11, it also adds these words, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And again, the thought that I'm sure immediately comes to your mind is the many usages that people make of the name of God, and how they use it most commonly, and not in a sanctified manner at all, but in a very profane manner, which causes us some grief, I trust, if you're in the presence of those who use the name of God in a profane manner. Of course, today, you know, in our society, people like to be very broad-minded, as they say, or they like to be very worldly. And of course, they mean that in the very broadest sense of the terms and the most liberal sense of the term. And this kind of language that is more profane and more ungodly, and those kinds of words which are used in a more sacrilegious way than a godly way have crept into literature. They have crept into various forms of media, especially in the present day movies and films that people watch. And they have crept even into the more public arena of the television, wherein it used to be a violation to use such words, but now they use them quite fluently. And it becomes a concern in the Christian community that the use of the name of God is so casually used, and used in a way which is dishonoring to God. But we should recognize that God says that the use of his name in a vain and a profane way is a sin. That's right. It is a sin. You see, we have become desensitized, haven't we, to such things. Sin is not a word people want to use anymore. We just say, well, this kind of colorful language. You know, somebody is just taking a little liberty in their speech. But in actuality, it is sin. It is sin every time that someone uses the name of God without a holy, sanctified use of the name of God. And the abbreviations today that they use are just as unsanctified and just as unholy as the actual word that they use. And for the sake of illustration, we know what that phrase is that everybody likes to use, OMG. And it is an unsanctified use, a representation that is falsely using the name of God. And it is sin. In Numbers chapter 30 in verse 2, it says, If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, He shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceed out of his mouth. So if somebody is making a vow or an oath in the name of God, in the name of Almighty God, so help me God, using some phrase to indicate the swearing of a truth or an oath or a pledge, a vow, if you will, that they had to be very careful concerning that. Matthew 23:16, a curse is on you, blind guides, who say, whoever takes an oath by the temple, which of course is holy, the temple of God, is nothing. But whoever takes an oath by the gold of the temple, well, he is accountable. He is responsible for that. And of course, this was the kind of things that the Pharisees would do. They would keep what they considered to be the rabbinical law and the law which was accepted among their religious sect, and anything which was outside of that, they would make allowances for. I'd just like to say that I think that even Christians make too many allowances. That even Christians cross the line. Even Christians take the name of God much too glibly, use it much too shallow, in a sense. That we do not reverence the name of God as we should, but we ought to. Because, in fact, to do it other than God has indicated for us to use his name is sin. It is sin. In Matthew 5:34, he says, but I say to you, take no oaths at all, not by heaven, because it is the seed of God. That's out of the Bible in Basic English, just in case you're not using the King James. But we find that no matter which translation that we take it from, whether it's the ESV, the NIV, the KJV, the New KJV, the Modern KJV, the Authorized Version, the Revised Version, the New American Standard Version, the Contemporary Version, the CEV, or any other translation you want, it's going to be the same. God's Word says that we are not to take his name in vain, nor when we take oaths that we should take them in any way but seriously, and that it is a sin to do otherwise. And that is God's Word. And so it is that we find that there are many liberties taken upon this very issue, if you will. Well, you say, we don't live in the first century, that I'm not Jewish, that I don't go to the temple, that I'm not keeping the rabbinical law, and therefore these things must not apply to me. This is the age of grace, after all, and I live in the church age, and God overlooks my faults. Well, we should remember that sin is sin, no matter in what generation it is. When it violates the word of God, it is still sin. And to take the name of God vainly and profanely is sin. To swear is a sin. In Matthew 5:36, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Of course, various points are being made upon this issue. Swear not by heaven, it is God's throne. Swear not by God's footstool, as we find that God is truly the authority and sovereign over the earth, and the earth is his footstool, heaven and earth and all that is therein. Neither swear by your head, you cannot make one hair white or one hair black. What is he really trying to say to us? except that we ought to recognize the authority and the reverence that we should have for God. That is, God is the authority. He is the sovereign. And we ought to know the reverence that we ought to have for God. And that we have no right to make certain oaths or claims upon anything that belongs to God, because all things belong to God, and the earth is the fullness thereof. That is, God has created all things. And by the way, He's created you and I as well. And so it is that we find that there was a great violation of this even in Jesus' day. Albert Barnes says this upon the subject in verse 38 concerning making the hair white or black upon your head. He says this was a common oath. The Gentiles also made them use this oath. To swear by the head was the same as to swear by the life, or to say, I will forfeit my life if I will say it is not true. God is the author of the life, and to swear by that, therefore, is the same as to swear by Him. You see, the secular world at the time knew the reverence of God, and so they would make these oaths as if they were swearing by God. But in effect, they were false swearing because they had no right to swear as such. And so we find that God means for us to reverence His Word and to honor Him. We have no control over our lives except as we submit them into the hand of God. Especially as these things relate to the Christian, we ought to be aware of it. We ought to know that God would have us to reverence Him in every way, and not to take His name or His word too lightly, or the authority which He has over us. Matthew Poole, commenting upon the Savior's words here in the Gospel, says this: we must consider that our Savior is here opposing the corruptions of the age brought in by the Pharisees, who had taught people that swearing was nothing if they did not falsely swear themselves. Well, even in Christ's day, you see, there were those exceptions that they liked to make. And today in our society, we find people are very willing to make all kinds of exception for the sake of their usage of language. But it does not change the true meaning of what is being said, nor of the violation, that to swear is a sin. And so we must consider that God desires that we be true to His Word and reverence Him and honor Him in our lives. In James chapter 5 and verse 12, and I'll just turn there and read this verse, because in the book of James we find this comment concerning swearing as well. In verse 12 of chapter 5 of James, above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any oath, other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. I find it interesting that wherever we go in the Word of God, there is support for those things that God laid down in His law and in His commandment, which causes us to remember that those who were apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ took very seriously the law and the commandment, even though they themselves were born into the very church age itself, and they realized of the grace of God. But yet they did not neglect to point out that to break the law of God was sin. Even though they were not saved by the law of God, they were saved by the grace of God. And you see, here is probably the reason why so many Christians in our society seem to take certain liberties with the name of God, and using it profanely and vainly, is because they somehow think that the law of God has been done away with, when in effect it is still very much valid. And it is sin to use the name of the Lord our God in vain, or to profane the name of the Lord, or to use oaths in such a way as to violate the true usage of them. The right usage of an oath in a judicial sense is not wrong. When one is swearing to tell the truth in the name of God, is true. One should tell the truth. But remember that the corruption of this in Jesus' day was upon very many common things. And that is how we find the usage and profaning, or the vain use of the name of God, or the swearing of men and women today, is upon common usage. That many who swear do not know the God of this world that we worship. They do not know the Savior and Lord, which we call our Savior and Lord. They use His name so casually and so vainly. It is but a punctuation, an exclamation, or some power word which they use. But they are sending themselves as certainly into hell as any man might do any other sin. And it is underscored every time that they open their mouth in such a vain and profane way. Secondly, we should affirm those things that are true, that your yes would be yes and your no would be no. That is, of course, what he tells us here, to make sure that our yes is a yes and our no is a no. In other words, to simply tell the truth. And so what we say should be in truth and not with profane oaths. Let your communication be true toward God and true toward man. This does not mean that we should always use the word yes, but in truth and in reality, we are to say those things that are right and good in the sight of God, without profaning or taking in vain the very name of God. Profanity, then, is the evidence of a sinful heart toward God. It is the evidence of a depraved heart. If you know what human depravity is all about, it is about man being fallen into the nature of sin, which he has no escape from, except God deliver him from it. Man cannot deliver himself from his own sin. If someone has a very evil mouth and makes certain profanities continually and says, well, I guess I will improve myself and I will stop using these words, it doesn't make him any less a sinner. But when he uses the profanity and the vain words and the false professing of the name of God, he only underscores further his own depravity and his own sinful nature. God is the one who saves us from that terrible condition and lostness which we all are partakers of. It is God who quickens the heart. It is God who gives faith and truly administers His grace to us. And it ought to humble us to the degree that we would be very careful about the things that we say. Profanity, then, is the evidence of a sinful heart. Adam and Clark, in his commentary, makes this comment that profane swearing is always the evidence of a depraved heart. To trifle with the name of God or with any of His works is itself most decidedly the proof of depravity. the proof of depravity. And it is sin. We recognize that these things are serious when we talk about them. But in our society today, it seems that to use the name of the Lord in vain is as common as the rain coming down from the sky to most people. It means nothing. But it ought to mean the most to you and I as Christians. It ought to cause us to be most humbled whenever we hear others using the Word of God in a vain and profane way. We ought to want to close our ears to it and to run away from it. Why? Because we want to reverence and honor God. To stand and listen to those who use the name of God over and over and over again in a profane and vain way, as if it means nothing. And when we hear a man swear a thing, it is pretty good evidence that he knows he is swearing falsely, because he doesn't use the name of God but once, but repeatedly, over and over and over again, as if he could not make a point in any other way but to swear and to use the name of God. Man, given to his own depravity, sinks to the lowest levels. It's interesting. You can put a suit coat on an individual and he can swear just as well as someone with tattered clothes and torn and homeless and poor. And yet they think it just as good. And so we find that it is not the mark of an educated person to swear in such a vain and profane way. It is no mark of education. In fact, if it were, you would think he would try to be a gentleman. Is it any mark of a lady because she might use the name of God in vain and curse and swear and use vanities about God? It is no mark of a lady. You might expect it if you were in a very low area of society. But in today's world, it seems that they use the name of God just as vainly, whether in higher education or lower education, or in those who might be held in great esteem in society as those who may be not in great esteem in society. No particular endowments are needed to the art of cursing. Children curse just as well as adults do. And in fact, it doesn't seem you need much practice at all. It's something you can do as fluently at 5 if you hear it from your parents as you can at 25 or at 55 or at 75 or at 85 or if you're still breathing at 95. People don't need any particular education in how to go about it. It is sin. It is profanity and vain. It is in the scriptures said to be a sin and a breaking of the law of God. And yet people do it all around us. And we find that if we are not careful as Christians, and I would dare say that all of us have done it at one time or another, and it is still sin, no matter who does it. A man that is truly a Christian and leads a Christian life does not need the oaths and vanity and profanity to make one believe what they are saying. That's why our yes should be yes, our truth should be in truth, and our no should be no. Or when we say something isn't so, that we mean it and it is in truth a no. Because profanities do not add anything to truth. Using God's name in vain adds nothing to truth. And so it is that God desires us to remember that those things that we say are to be said in truth and toward God without sin, knowing that we reverence our God. Thirdly, the evil word, an evil word, shows only the corruption of the heart of man. We touched upon this already. But some verses of scripture that may help us to see this a little bit further. The scripture rather says that the words that we say ought to be said in grace and in truth. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, if you'd like to look at a few of these verses, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 says this: Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Well, of course, when we talk to people or answer someone, it can be on a variety of different subjects and topics. As Christians, I trust that our answer might be in a biblical context. But even if we are talking to someone about other things, certainly we can make application that we always ought to talk to them with words that are seasoned with grace and truth. Seasoned with the favor of God and the truth of God, that we might be known as men and women of truth. Men and women who love God, men and women who are saved by God and give testimony to the salvation of God. Men and women who want to be known for the truth of our very character. And that's what it goes to, doesn't it? If a Christian is known by their character and they are speaking those things that they speak in grace and in truth, then they ought to be known as men and women of God, godly men and women. But when we hear someone using profanities and vanity concerning God, we find that their character does not reveal to us grace and truth. And so we ought to have our words seasoned with grace and truth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. That's Ecclesiastes 10:12. But the words of the wise man are gracious. They're full of the favor of God. Why? Because the man's life, the man or woman's life, is full of the favor of God. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 32, it says, The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. And so the righteous know what is acceptable. As Christians, we ought to know what is acceptable to say. We ought to know how to use those words that we speak in grace and in truth. We ought to know if they are acceptable to speak in public and to people and to represent our Lord and Savior. And we ought not to pick up the trends of the day and the most popular words of the day without consideration of whether or not they speak truth or other consideration concerning the reverence that we have toward God or how we are being represented concerning the Lord. Proverbs 18:7, A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. As we can see, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes has some good things to say to us about how we ought to guard our words and how those who do not guard their words are known to be. They are as fools. They speak with forwardness. Their very words swallow themselves up. They are known by them, and they are sin. And God will judge them for their sin. We've already read the James 5:12 passage, so I won't read that one again. But let me read Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. You may remember that chapter very well, concerning certain 10 laws that were given to Moses for the children of Israel. And it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." The 10 commandments have not changed. They are still the commandments of God. They are still those words that were given unto Moses and to the children of Israel and to all humanity that would understand and know the will of God and how they might live ethically and morally and religiously to honor God and to reverence His name. And we are not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. And so we are to reverence His very name and to be very careful in the usage of it. Also in Leviticus chapter 19:12, which I've already made mention of, that it says, "And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. I am the Lord." I'm sure much more could be said about this, but I think it is enough for us to see here this morning that to swear and to vainly use the name of the Lord, or to make oaths falsely, or to profane the name of God, or to curse with the name of God, is still sin. It is still sin. We hear it all too often ourselves. I would just say this in closing. Let us not become too familiar with hearing it. Let us stay away from people who would take the name of the Lord our God in vain, if we can. And if you can't, then perhaps you can live your life in such a way that when they are in your presence, they will be ashamed of the very words they speak in vain. I trust they would say to you, because of your life, they would say, "Oh, I'm sorry for saying that. I shouldn't speak that way in your presence." You see, if there is the true character of the Christian coming out in your life and the holiness of your life coming out, people should be ashamed when they speak the name of God that way in your presence. And so it is that we recognize that using profanities, falsely swearing, using vanity, using cursing words, using the name of God in vain is still sin. And we have a testimony, and we need to make it known to others. We do not come around and say, "I am holier than thou." No. Now, if we take upon ourselves the humility of Christ, they will know us for who we truly are. The kind of condemnation that God brings upon their hearts is not your problem. Let them be condemned if they will, because you are in their presence. And even if they make some kind of a false accusation about you, saying you were too holy, you were too religious, you were a fanatic, whatever, don't worry about that. Live your life in truth. Live your life in the true reverence and purity that you need to live it for God and honor Him. Live it as though you know to name the name of God in any other way than God requires us to name it is still sin. You see. And let the condemnation fall upon them if it will, because that is how God reveals their sin to them. Except for the law of God, we would not know sin. And so let us be the salt and light we need to be in this regard. Shall we bow together? Loving Father, We thank you for your word and for this truth concerning false swearing and how there are so many who use the name of the Lord in vain and profane that name. I pray, Lord, give us courage to stand for the truth and to be truthful ourselves in all that we say and not to use the name of God for any other purpose than that which you have given for it, to glorify you, to give praise to you, to honor you. May we keep it holy and sanctify it. We thank you, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.